as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to the Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey, Brandon. Once again, hello, everybody. Good to be back, as usual. First off, the 3-0 win against Redskins, man. I was impressed with what I seen on Saturday, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we get into that, though, you told me before we got on the show that you were going to check out the new Horseshoe Casino that's going to be opening up downtown tonight, and it's right across from the stadium. Do you think you're going to hit that place up maybe after a Ravens win in the next couple Sundays?
I can foresee that happening, Brandon. I'm excited. Sidebar, I'm headed down there as we speak. Should be a good time. I know a local poker pro, Greg Merson's going to be there. Guy Ferrari's in the house. He's opened up a new restaurant. So they're having a lot of local celebrity fare. And I'm not sure if there's any sports figures going to be there. But it's going to be a great attraction, not only for the Baltimore, but as a whole for the fans and attraction, especially the visitors coming from the other games. I know, just to throw a little bit out there to the fans, I don't know if anybody's been on the website, but with the injunction to Ravens games and M&T Bank Stadium events, they're going to be charging for parking. It is a high price of $60, but it's literally right, like, you can throw a rock at the stadium. It's almost like as close as us. You know where we tailgate, right, Brandon?
Oh, absolutely.
It's like that close. It's like right there. I'll be right there tonight in, on non-M&T Bank Stadium events. It is free. Self-serve parking, obviously, valets, extra. But, yeah, man, headed down there tonight. Hopefully, lady looks on my side. And from the outside, it looks beautiful. I've seen pictures, and I can't wait to get it started, right? But, yeah, it's going to be a great time, and it's going to be a great added feature, not only to the as you said, football Sundays and maybe a little bit extra flavor of tailgating, but tourism as a whole for Baltimore and the city. So I can't wait, man. It's going to be an exciting season. And then with the Orioles playoff push, it's almost opening at the right time, man. It's an exciting time at Baltimore right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's, you know, I originally thought it was a pretty odd location to pick, given the fact that on Sundays, that's going to be a crowded, crazy place to go. That area, especially, like, if you're not going to the game and you're just taking your car down there, I mean, it's going to be nuts. But anyway, after seeing it on that first preseason game that I got to attend, how close it was and how big it is, I mean, the place just looks massive. It's going to be a nice place. They're going to have, you know, Ravens tailgate parties. They're going to show the games on the big screens in the casino, just like Maryland Live and the Perryville Casino does as well. So next week you'll have to tell us what the inside looks like and how much you won and if you're going to become a professional rounder or something like that after this. But anyway, let's jump right into it, man. So you were there. You saw the Ravens versus the Redskins this past Saturday. It was a game where we saw the starters play throughout the first half. And let's just start off by saying what everybody's been talking about, that Steve Smith catch. Wow.
Wow.
Those guys, Joe Flacco, Steve Smith, that was something we've been talking about the last couple weeks. That's why these games were important, to get these guys on the same page. I want to say that Steve Smith catch and working with Joe and everything, that was very Anquan Boldin-esque of those duos right there. So the Ravens brought in a veteran. They brought in a guy that they thought that would fit in well. And after seeing that catch and the showmanship that it was, I think he's going to do pretty well here as a Raven. And I think him and Joe are going to work well together, because, man, that catch going into halftime, that was something to see.
Freaking, it was amazing, buddy. It was right in front of us. I had a front row seat, obviously, you know, in section 517. That was right in front of us. What a catch, Steve Smith. He's showing that, hey, little guys got the little old guys got something to thank, man. And he's showing again why the Ravens looked at him, why the Ravens gave him a nice deal, and why we snatched him up when he became a free agent that same week. And he plays like a Raven. It plays like that. It was funny to look at the replay at first glance, because, like, I had to stand up and sitting down. It was hard to see Steve Smith in the corner. But at the same time, Dennis Pitta also broke into the middle of the end zone. So, yeah, Joe Flacco waited. Pitta was wide open. So that play ended up being the play pick for us. It was a well-timed throw. Joe Flacco, man, put it right on the money. I saw replays. Obviously, you know, when you're at the game, you have the replays at the stadium, and then you have the live view of it coming directly to you. But when he put that right on the rope, man. And it just shows what our offense is capable of, man. You block for Joe, give him the time, the receivers get open, find their slots where they're going to be on the field, and it's going to be a field open season in the offense. And I'm very, very excited to see what this is going to bring for us come September, when we get the regular season cranked up here shortly. But, yeah, man, it's Steve Smith, man, ice up, done. Because that was one heck of a catch. And I did tweet this out during the game. You know, my MVP of the offense was, you know, Steve Smith, Joe MVP, Joe Flacco. But on the other side of the ball, how about DJ Mosley, my friend? How about DJ Mosley?
That guy looks like he looks like a pro. He doesn't look like a rookie. Same thing I said last week. This guy, he means business. You can tell why he was the first pick that the Ravens picked up. He looks like a guy who was built to fit into this squad, and I'm amazed at how fast he's learning this system. And I mean, he's a young guy, so of course he's got some wheels on him and he's got some stuff to prove. But CJ Mosley, man, I got a feeling he might be a Raven for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah, man, absolutely. I mean, not only him, but defense as a whole. I was a little worried with this game, being that with the weapons the Redskins have, and I knew this was going to be a simulated semi-regular season game because of the starters played the length of time, and you're going to see one-on-one versus first unit, but the starting defense held the Redskins to a total of 41 yards in the first half. 41 yards! That's awesome, given they have Arch 3, Alfred Morris, Pierre Garcon, Jordan Reed, Deshaun Jackson. I can go on and on. And it's just amazing to see how well they gelled, how well the secondary stepped up in the absence of Ladarius Webb, the absence of Jimmy Smith. I just really can't wait to see him. And speaking of that, I know Jimmy Smith's going to make a full recovery. He's okay. He'll be ready for week one. We're not taking no precautions, and Ray Rice is going to be all right, too. And I actually heard Bernard Pierce, my question, he's slated to start week one, so I have to give a round of applause to that, man. That was a scare, but we're going to, looks like we're going to have Pierce back.
Yeah, so that was a few things that people were worried about. We were worried about some of the injuries coming up, but it seems as if this team is going to be ready to go for game one of the regular season. So that is some great news. I want to say that real quick, just to go back to Joe Flacco. I mean, we're a Ravens podcast, so of course we're going to think highly of the guy. But Joe Cool, I mean, that he's got that name for a reason. And from all his years playing with this team, I love how under pressure he can be with 2 minutes left in the game. And I love the fact that he can still deliver even, you know, so many seasons in. And I think that we're just seeing the start of Joe Flacco, because really he's a young guy who's achieved so much already. But just think about it. I remember in Pittsburgh, they were saying how Joe Flacco had never defeated Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. And it was with 2 minutes left in the game, and he's able to throw a ball and he's able to get down the field. That's the amazing thing about Joe, is that he can get down the field in such a short amount of time. He's a great quarterback. We don't have to continually sing his praises, but that's something that I've always liked about the guy, is that he inspires his team when there's just so little time left on that clock. He's able to get out there and do his thing. So just again, I'm very confident with Joe as our quarterback, and the offense looks good. The defense looks good. There's one game left. We'll talk a little bit about that, but really not that much to say, because none of the starters are playing.
Right.
So this is like the final pick for a few guys. Let's talk about some of the other guys that have really made an impact, and then it'll kind of lead us into talking about the cuts coming up. But two names I want to bring up. We've got Deontay Thompson, who has really shown what he can do on special teams and what he can do on the offense this preseason. This is why you have preseason games for guys like him, sort of on the bubble, but then you see him against the Cowboys and you see him running down the field and doing 108 yards to get a touchdown. You see what he can do in this pass game. And then we got this fullback, Kyle, and I'm hoping I'm saying his name right, Juszczyk.
Juszczyk.
All right, so that one's going to take a little while to learn.
They may be doing Juszczyk Stadium.
Yeah, yeah, and he's a guy, he's a fullback. I thought Vontae Leach being lost this past offseason was really going to hurt us. But when Kyle Juszczyk is on the field, he's a powerhouse, and he's somebody you can throw the ball to just like Vontae Leach was, and he's going to get you the yards you need because he's willing to mow some people down to get where he's got to be.
Absolutely, man. I mean, he's going to be a great formidable position in the backfield, I should say. It was only him and Talaferro. I think both will make the family. The Talaferro rookie, Lorenzo Talaferro, I think he's going to provide another breath of fresh air and a lot of good, solid play. I've seen a lot in the preseason, a lot in training camp. I mean, obviously, there's some bumps along the way, but what player doesn't have bumps? I mean, you know, everybody's not perfect out there. There's Flacco, Suggs, and the elite guys out there on the team that better are dusting off the rust, per se. But I can't wait to see what he's going to bring. He's got energy. I've always loved him. And another guy I like to see, speaking of, like, Juszczyk-type players on defense, I've always liked I like John Simon and the rookies that are coming their own. Timmy Jernigan and Terrence Brooks. Terrence Brooks is one heck of a player, man. It's not only just Mosley, but we've had a lot of talent. Michael Campanero. We have a lot of talent in this year's draft, and I'm very excited to see if the whole draft class stays on board on 53 Money Man of Baltimore here, because I'm very excited from the get-go. When I saw these guys on film, when I saw them in training camp and mini camp, and now going into the preseason games and what they can bring. I mean, the exception of Michael Campanero coming on late. And another one of my picks is there. He's not a rookie, but Deontay Thompson, and I wanted to have a little bit of hearsay on that, is, you know, his regular, not regular, he's preseason, I should say. Sorry, Brandon. His preseason has been a little bit of a flash. I mean, he had the 108-yard return in Dallas. He had the touchdown against the Redskins. He's looking good. He's looking real good, and he also had a touchdown. I think he had one in Dallas against Stegen. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it just he's had some solid play, especially with our receiving core, how deep we are. We need that depth. But just the training camps and the mini camps have been a little off, and he's had some off-the-field problems. But maybe we can pull it together. Maybe there'll be a spot for him. But, I mean, I personally like to keep Deontay Thompson in, but obviously we're not the end-all, be-all on that. But, again, that's my opinion. I like to see Deontay in the receiving core. I know, with that being said, we let go Laquan Williams and Cynthia Omar Brown already, including the roster cut to 75 players. So they're looming, man. We're getting from 75 now. We go to get down to 53 in the next week.
Yeah, that was the thing that I was a little surprised about. You know, my phone goes off. The Ravens app lets me know that they trimmed down their roster, and they did a little early because they had until today, I think at 5 o'clock, to kind of trim down their roster. They went a day early and just, you know, it seemed as if they had already made their minds up and they didn't want to waste any time. But the two names, you know, there were a couple rookies that were let go, a couple free agents let go. Nothing too surprising, but it really was surprising to see Laquan Williams be let go and Omar Brown to be let go. I think Laquan Williams being let go is a lot due to Deontay Thompson coming in and kind of proving himself, because Laquan Williams was let go after training camp last year. I believe he signed with the Patriots, came back to the Ravens during this offseason, and you really haven't heard his name much this training camp or anything at all. So Deontay Thompson kind of showed what he can do on special teams, and if he's really shining, I think that's why Laquan Williams was let go. Now, when you talk about a guy like Omar Brown, he's been with the team for about 3 years now. He was a part of the Super Bowl team. He's done a lot of stuff on the practice squad. He hasn't seen that many games, but I liked him just for the sheer fact that I liked the fact that he was named Omar and he was playing for Baltimore, kind of like tying it back to The Wire. But
I always love that Wire reference so much.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite ones. But, you know, we were talking about him last week up against the Cowboys, where he just got manhandled. I mean, he got run over by the Cowboys, and he did not look good at all. So as much as I like the tie into The Wire in Baltimore, he definitely did not look like he was in his best shape or that he was playing.
He was wired out, per se.
Something like that.
Wired out.
The Baltimore streets got to him, I guess. But I was not shocked that he was let go. But really, after that third game up against the Cowboys, you had to see it coming for him, because he just did not play well this preseason.
Yeah, and I can agree with him on that. The play wasn't there. And being that this year, you can't go off, especially when you're looking at roster spots and filling the second string slash third stringers. You can't go off by, oh, but the last 3 years he did this. Well, what's he done in training camp? What's he done in the off-season program? What's he done in OTAs? What's he done in preseason games week 1, 2, and 3? What's he contributed to 2014 play like a Ravens today? What's in here at present? Yeah, you're right. He could have contributed to the Super Bowl team. Great. Now we won championship with him in 2012 on the squad, whether he contributed to special teams. That's great. But, and I'm going to echo what Brian Billick's always said in his tenure here. It's the what have you done for me lately league, and that goes back to the whole, I mean, we're not going to discuss it, it's all, you know, water under the bridge in the past, but the whole Joe Flacco contract. It was the what have you done for me lately league. He earned that contract. He, okay, well, I did this, and I just led 15 Super Bowl and had 11 touchdowns and interceptions in the playoffs, and yeah, pay me. So, Flacco, again, that's an example. It's the what have you done for me lately league, and we're seeing the trends, not only that, but in the rest of the NFL. So, in the case of Owen Brown's sake, I mean, he just didn't do enough this year to warrant a roster spot. But you're right. You know, speaking of Laquan Williams and going down the list, you never know when these players can get a call back. There are certain players in the league that get let go and get called right back. I mean, you know, each sport's different. I mean, you see the Orioles always making moves, sending people down, call people up. The Major League Baseball is a lot different how to handle the roster spots. But with the NFL, you can cut these guys, and then what if week one someone goes down? Oh, well, we're going to pick up the phone and give somebody a call. Hey, would you welcome you back? And the way we handle the relationships with these players, we're not burning bridges to where we're always extending that open door. Say, hey, come on back if the door's open for you and everything works out for you. If you don't find another team or another suitor or another job. And that's what's working out for us. And it's been great.
Yeah, and you also got to think about this as well. I mean, Laquan Williams being let go, you got to imagine Deontay Thompson is one of the reasons in this kind of league. And this is in everyday life, too, not just in the NFL. But think about it. There's always going to be somebody behind you that wants your job, that wants to take your spot. There's always going to be you're always going to have competition. And if a guy like Deontay Thompson shows them something, they need to reward that. If Laquan Williams, you know, didn't impress anybody, and with a new offensive coordinator, you know, out there, and he didn't do anything, and Deontay Thompson comes in and wows everybody, of course they're going to go with him. So, I mean, you really, you got to put your full heart and soul into it, and if he didn't impress, he didn't impress. So that's the way it kind of goes. But we have one more preseason game coming up this Thursday up against the Saints. Let me ask you, usually with this fourth preseason game, no starters play except for one guy to kind of be a leader out there. There has been talk. Harbaugh has not said if he's going to play him or not. But with Ray Rice and his situation, not playing the first two games of the season, do you have him be that veteran or in this fourth game, or do you have him sit and give a guy who is going to make an immediate impact this season on this team play?
It's a very, very interesting question. It's a very loaded question because you can go any way with it. And have multiple answers to it. What I think is going to happen, it would be nice to now. I'm going to answer this in a lot of ways here. This is going to be a loaded answer. With that being said, you can insert Ray Rice in there, but it really wouldn't be a benefit, as you said, to the team, because we already know what Ray Rice can do. We've seen it in 2012. Yes, he had a bad year last year, but you're not going to give him carries in a fourth meaningless preseason game just solely on, oh, let's see if he can get 3 or 4 yards a carry. We're not at that point, and Harbaugh's, you know, too intelligent for that. And I respect that coaching staff enough to do that. Now, if they do it, there's a method to their madness. So, you know, what do I know? We're opinionated here, obviously. And we think we know it all, right? But we claim to, right? At least at the call. Yeah, I think what they're going to do is they're going to run Talaferro in a fullback slash running back. They're going to add a few looks there. Obviously not going to give Bernard Pearson looks to recover from the concussion. I would love to see him get looks, but unfortunately, that's not what we're going to be doing here coming in Thursday night in New Orleans. But and it's more nostalgia too. Not only that, but it's just you want to see what Ray Rice can bring for the old time's sake. But it's not going to happen. I think what they're going to give is Justin Forsett a ball for the carries. Again, you know, Talaferro is going to get another ball for the carries. I think what's going to happen is Justin Forsett some start. If Ray Rice gets some touches, I'm going to be surprised.
Yeah, a part of me was thinking, well, maybe they'll play him because If you're going to you don't want to risk, you know, hurting any of your starters or any of them getting injured. With Ray Rice, you know that if he does get injured, he will have two games to recoup if need be, because he won't be there. But you also got to think, like, do you want to give him some game time since you won't see him for 2 weeks to kind of keep him in game shape? Do you do this? Do you that? I don't think you're going to see Ray Rice during this game. I think you might see a veteran on defense playing. You know, I think it was 2 years ago we saw Brendan Iamadejo play this last game. I am excited to see Usyk out there again, to see Deontay Thompson out again. And you'll probably see Marlon Brown, even though I believe Marlon Brown will start the majority of these games this season. You'll probably see him play a good amount of this fourth game. But this is for those guys that are still on that bubble that, you know, Deontay Thompson did show some good stuff. They are probably still looking at him, and he's going to have to still bring his A game, treat every game like it's the Super Bowl pretty much, because who knows whose last game this could be. So this last preseason game, as a fan, it's not a lot of fun to watch. Yes, football is football, but you're not seeing, you know, the guys you want to see out there. But hey, this is it. This is where the young guys get to hone their craft. This is where some of the guys that have been in the league a couple years get to show why they're in this league in the first place. So it'll be fun to watch. You might DVR it and watch it in spurts to cut out some commercials and some other stuff. But hey, we still got one more game, and then finally we're going to be onto the regular season of football, which I'm excited about.
Can't wait, Brandon. Can't wait. One of the sort of tidbit out there is for us to hear this number. For the Redskins game, there was an ounce attendance of 70,876 fans, second largest for preseason game. And I wanted to say, you know, again, I know I've touched on this before, but we have one of the best fan bases. We're top, I think we were fifth or sixth on the NFL list of fan bases in sport, which we're always up there in tailgating. We know how to do it. We know big football as Maryland does. We do it right. But given that, our preseason game, second largest ever, it's just flat out amazing. And especially when I was part of that, and then the 28,000 plus that were at a practice, media practice, so you're about a third of the way there. You're almost putting, just for that preseason game alone, at the practice, almost 100,000 fans you had to the first preseason game, which was another around 69,000-70,000 fans, you know. We're doing it, Baltimore, and we're not even at a real deal yet, man. So I'm excited. The summer sounds around the corner. You know me, man. It's going to be a lot of heat. It's going to be cranking. I really can't wait. You know, Section 517 up at the bank. We're going to have a raucous time, and it's going to be a great week. And I'm going to be jacked up because I found out, and I know I extended the invitation to you, but, you know, get this busy week for me, man. But Baltimore is going to be buzzing. Not only do we have the casino opening, but get this. We have the Bengals opener, Monday Night Raw for WWE's the night after, and then it's the Ravens-Steelers Thursday Night Football. So we're going to be in the spotlight all week long.
Wow, that's a pretty packed week.
Yes, sir, man. So, and I'm going to be at all events. I got my Raw ticket. Got my, obviously, season tickets for Ravens, for the Ravens-Bengals, Ravens-Steelers games. So, man, I'm going to be a busy man come the second week of September.
Well, you know, I want to see, Roman Reigns or Dean Ambrose or somebody in a Ravens jersey on Monday night. That's what I want to see.
Speaking of that, they've been getting into some street fights, man. It's almost like they've been getting back to the old school stuff. Now with these NFL and these hits and the concussions and the whole Brandon Mayweather. And speaking of that, I mean, Brandon Mayweather got suspended 2 games for the hit on Torrey Smith, which it was a kind of a fake game. He got suspended 2 games for real games. For a fake preseason game, which is crazy. And then Wes Walker, I mean, we had some arguments on Facebook and Twitter because a friend of mine was arguing it was a defenseless hit on Wes Walker, but he had 2 hands on a football. How is that defenseless? And the guy's leg with his shoulder, it was a legal hit. In my opinion, it was. And I can see the point where Brandon Mayweather, you know, the ball is already overthrown, it was passed, it was a complete, and he jacked up for a spin. I'm all about big hits, but about player safety, too, you got to have that fine line. I think our NFL is trying to find that footing in try that boundary. They're toting that boundary a bit. But again, you know, I was joking. I said I've been watching the WWE lately, and apart from that, I've never seen a total domination that I saw with a listener and after John Cena. So and I'm gonna put some of my football heritage in there. I love the big hits, and I love the Total Dominations and the Pump Up videos, and it's amazing, man. You know, WWE's back on the forefront. We'll be there on Baltimore September 8th, but it's just been amazing, man. And you're right, you know, with the street fights at Dean Ambrose and the Cinder Block, they're bringing old school back, brother.
Yeah, and you know, I'm a wrestling fan forever and ever, but I hope they do well with this Brock Lesnar John Cena thing, because after what I saw last night on Monday Night Raw, how John Cena doesn't look like he's hurt in any way, and now they're burying, you know, like a guy like Bray Wyatt, and you know, that kind of stuff annoys me, because if you're gonna take that much of a beating, at least sell the fact that like you can't wrestle for a couple weeks or something. I mean, I don't know. That's just my wrestling fan coming out. But the SummerSlam main event, that was definitely enjoyable, because I never thought they were going to do that to John Cena. For a guy who's been on top for so long.
16 suplexes, man.
Yeah, I mean.
It was amazing. But God, he pumped up. Me being a football guy and going back to the old Ray Lewis hit and Ray and hit laying his shoulder out. It just reminds me of the old gladiator days of football. And they're kind of now over. They're trying to get over that. Now it's just getting annoying with these flags, and that's another thing too, is, you know, even the commission was asked that, will we see a rash of penalties in the regular season, because so many are called in the preseason, but with the new rules, everybody's trying to find their footing and try to find their happy ground, and he agreed that less penalties should be happening in the regular season, to speed up play and everything, but then it's also the veterans, you have to figure that second, third, fourth stringers are playing, and they're not knowing any better, so they're getting their first taste in NFL, so they're going out there and they're doing whatever. So, again, when you have the veterans on the field, I think it'll be a different story, Brandon.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I think that's pretty much it for this show. Did we miss anything for the call
not
episode?
Not a chance, Brandon.
Yeah, we're doing episode 57 today. That's CJ Mosley. He's already getting his own episode here. That's
there
what we're going to call it. So, if you want to talk Ravens football with myself or Josh, we are both on Twitter. Follow me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet me at DianeGQ52.
All right, very cool. Now, there's plenty of ways to listen to the show. It's absolutely free to download, stream, or just listen to it. So we are on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and we're going to cut to them real quick, and they're going to tell you a little bit more about the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Check it out.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, that's pretty much it for the show. Make sure you go to BrandoCash.com. That's where you get information about this show and all the other shows on the Brando from Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. You can check us out over on Facebook. Like us over there. We've said it many times throughout this show. We do the show completely for free. You guys download it, listen to it completely for free. So please help us get a little bit bigger in the world of podcasting and be social with the show. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit that you are a Baltimore Ravens fan. You listen to The Call, and they should too. So that's pretty much it for The Call this week. One more preseason game to go, but Josh, take us out the way you always do.
For our further 57th episode, our own CJ Mosley is using the fly high and on his Twitter. I saw on his bio, and I wanted to give a shout out to CJ Mosley for doing that. I obviously didn't know he was doing it, so again, you know, that's what we do. We always end the show blowing our hands fly high with our 57th episode. I thought it was appropriate to announce that. I thought it was pretty cool. Again, with that being said, we have week 3 under the books in preseason. We're getting down to it. We just got to get over the hump on number 4, but a little bit of nostalgia. We go back to the scene of crime, Super Bowl 47, New Orleans, Mercedes-Benz Superdome. The opponent is New Orleans Saints, no Drew Brees, no Joe Flacco. Hopefully no lights out, but what will be is lights out on the preseason come the evening festivities come to an end, because once then, it's on to the week 1 Cincinnati Bengals. September 7th is around the corner. Stay with us. We're just there. We're going to bring this in for a smooth landing, but again, as always, Baltimore Ravens fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.